I have been inspired, as I know you have, with the singing of this lovely choir. And I think especially of their comments or their song at the beginning of this meeting, True to the Faith. And it is faith that I would like to speak about this afternoon. We have been referred to as a believing people. Certainly, individual faith is the foundation stone of the gospel and the quality which is most important to us as individuals. Joseph Smith said, faith is the assurance which men have of the existence of things that they have not seen, and the principle of action of all intelligent beings. It is the first great governing principle. And Jacob teaches that the Lord commands all men that they must have perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. As a principle of power and of action, and as the key to our salvation, our individual faith then becomes of absolute importance to us. Paul admonished us to be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. If you can do no more than desire to believe, said Alma, let that desire work in you, even until you believe in a manner that you can give place for a portion of my word. Moroni says, dispute not because you see not, for you receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. There are many steps a person can take to develop the gift and power of faith. In the next few minutes, I would like to suggest 6 of these steps. Number 1, faith is the ability to recognize the Lord as all-powerful and the giver of all blessings. As King Benjamin put it, believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. Unquote. Sometimes we compartmentalize. We pray about one thing and worry about something else. We seem to limit the ability of the Lord to help us in every aspect of our lives. John A. Witzo tells us the following. For many years, under a federal grant with my staff of workers, we had gathered thousands of data in the field of soil moisture, but I could not extract any general law running through them. I gave up at last. My wife and I went to the temple that day to forget the failure. In the third endowment room, out of the unseen, came the solution, which has long since gone into print. Unquote. Faith, then, is the realization that the Lord can help us with all things. 2, faith is the ability to do what we are prompted to do when we're prompted to do it. A few years ago, when we were presiding over the Sydney mission, I was earnestly seeking a blessing from the Lord. The mission had done well, but was pausing on a plateau, and we needed to move ahead once again. On one particular day, I was fasting and praying that the Lord would lead us to a new level of achievement. And in the midst of my prayers came the clear impression to seek out my son and give him a blessing. I followed the prompting and found my son, who I am close to, in another part of the house, attending to his high school studies. I said, "How are things going?" And he answered in typical teenage fashion, "Why?" Not knowing what else to say, I said, "Do you want a blessing?" And he looked at me in stunned silence for a few seconds and said, "Yes." The inspiration that followed from that blessing proved to be of great importance to both my son and me. It will be an experience that neither of us will forget. Yet this would have been lost had I stopped to question why the Lord was turning me to my first responsibility, my family, when I was seeking a blessing for the mission. Number 3, Faith is the ability to live the laws of God that control the blessings we are in need of. While we should not keep the commandments just to receive blessings, nevertheless, the blessings are there. Harold B. Lee tells the experience of how he was praying very hard for a material blessing he needed badly. He states that one day while he was praying for this blessing, he remembered that he had recently received some income that he had not yet tithed. It was as if, he said, the accusing voice of the Lord was saying, "You want a blessing from me, but you have not been obedient to the laws upon which such blessings are based." He said he went and paid the tithing on that income, and then he again sought that particular blessing from the Lord. Number four, faith is the ability to act as if. In his teachings, Paul said, "By faith, Noah, being moved of God of things not seen, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." President Kimball gives us some insight to Noah and the ark. "As yet, there was no evidence of rain and flood. His warnings were considered irrational. How foolish to build an ark on dry ground, with the sun shining and life moving forward as usual. But time ran out, the floods came, the disobedient were drowned, the miracle of the ark followed, the faith manifested in its building." Unquote. Many years ago, during the dark days of World War II, L. Von Orm, the president of the Australia Mission, was invited to a faithful widow's house for Sunday dinner. Rationing had taken its toll, and many of the good foods had long since disappeared from the shelves of the local stores. When the president arrived, he was shocked to find a table filled with the foods that were in short supply. "I can't eat this," he said, almost embarrassed that he was taking it out of the mouth of a widow. "I'm afraid you'll have to," she said. "You see, I listened to the brethren years ago and put in my year's supply, and this is the only kind of food I have." She showed the faith to act as if by storing food, and the faith produced a miracle in the time of need. I wonder how many saints will be able to withstand the disaster of their own personal flood by showing faith in the advice of modern prophets and building an ark of family preparedness. Number five. Faith is the ability to be charitable and to believe in people. The Savior of the world is the foremost example of this love. After having been rejected and despised, he asked his Father to forgive those who crucified him because they know not what they do. Joseph Smith is another example. After living a life filled with trials and betrayals, he said as he was going to Carthage, "I go like a lamb to the slaughter, yet I have a conscience void of offense toward all men." I knew a man once who I respected very much and who had this quality. On one occasion, a person came from out of town, a beggar, and appeared at the door and asked for money. My friend said, "I have an old barn that needs painting. If you want to paint it, I'll pay you for it." They went out to look at the barn, and then the man was sent to England's paint store, and arrangements were made for him to pick up the paint he needed. The barn was painted, and the man was paid and left town. Shortly after, Mr. England called my friend and said that the man had picked up far more paint than was needed to paint the barn. In short, my friend had been taken. Yet he took the opportunity to teach his sons a lesson. "Had I known what he did, I would have stopped him," he said. "But we have our painted barn, and the painter, whatever his problems, will always know that there was someone willing to believe in him." Faith cannot be nourished in a heart that has been made hard by continued cynicism, skepticism, and unforgiveness. A person who cannot see the good in people not only destroys his own faith, but becomes basically an unhappy individual. Number six, faith is the ability to allow ourselves to be guided by the priesthood. Paul teaches us this important truth. And he, that is the Lord, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And here he tells us why these priesthood leaders have been given to the saints, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Priesthood leaders, all leaders who have been called by revelation under the hands of the priesthood, have been given to us so we can come to a unity of the faith, to the end that we might know the Savior and have his image in our countenance and become like him, that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world. Years ago, President Joseph Fielding Smith, then a member of the Quorum of Twelve, attended a state conference where a relatively new state president had been called. A man repeatedly came up to President Smith and asked him for counsel concerning a personal matter. Finally, President Smith said he would see the man provided the new state president could be there. As the man unfolded his situation, the stake president was prompted with what the person needed to do. Yet President Smith listened to the brother and surprised everyone by saying, "I have no counsel for you." The man was surprised and he left. After he had gone, President Smith turned to the stake president and said, "I knew how to counsel that man, but I was also prompted to know that he would go against the counsel. So rather than condemn him for going against the counsel of the priesthood, I told him nothing." From this we learn that it is not enough to seek the direction of those who God has called to lead us, but we must come with a willingness to follow the counsel of inspired leaders in order to develop our faith. Latter-day Saints need to believe. They need to take every opportunity to develop their faith. My faith is both a beacon and a foundation stone. It is born of the Spirit and enriched by a multitude of prayers and promptings. It lifts my soul upward. It opens my heart to peace and joy. It nourishes and reaffirms those things that I have fully known. My faith is that I know God lives. I know he lives. And Jesus is the Christ. And Joseph Smith was a true prophet. And we sit in the midst of apostles and prophets today. May the Lord bless us as we go forward now and in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.